Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your patience. We have another trustee in route, but we do have a quorum. We'll get started. So welcome to the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee special meeting of June 14, 2018. We'll call the meeting to order. Verification of a quorum and appropriate notification. Mr. Brady, would you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of the meeting has been posted?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask the recording secretary to read off the roll so that we can get a count on attendance.
Trustee Dennis Butler. Dennis Barsima. I'm a little thrown this morning.
Here.
Trustee John Butler. Trustee Veronica Herrero. Trustee Giuseppe LaGioia. Trustee Eric Wasowitz.
Here.
Board Chair Wheeler Coleman.
Here.
Committee Chair Tim Struthers.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have reached quorum for this committee meeting of the FACFO committee.
Thank you.
And appropriate notices have been provided by the university.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So
have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
May the record show that Mr. Butler has arrived. It's my opportunity to make comments, and I do not have any. We have a pretty robust discussion on the budget and the audit piece of this agenda, which I would expect will be active conversation around there, so I'll capture my sentiment at that time. This time, I'd like to recognize the members of the representing the University Advisory Committee that are present, and I see we have Barb, Alex, and Kathy. Would any of you or all of you have comments?
Yes, thank you, and good morning. Related to this morning's committee meeting, I actually wanted to be able to comment briefly on the budget, finance, and HR update that Provost McCord and Sarah McGill provided to us earlier this week at the monthly leadership meeting. Relative to the update on HR process enhancements that Provost McCord provided, I can definitely say that as SPS face more and more challenges relative to our classification, which will require a great deal of HR work and support, we appreciate the administration's intention to undergo a collaborative review of HR processes, and we stand ready to participate and support that in any way we can. Relative to the budget and finance update from Sarah McGill, I know many were quite pleased to hear of planned enhancements and changes relative to things like the budget control process and the procurement process. I think applause during the middle of one of those meetings is rare, so I think she received some well-deserved applause. And we thank the senior leadership, including Sarah McGill and her team, for taking the time to listen to campus concerns and implement changes that show a clear understanding of some of the top concerns for our constituents. So thank you for that, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, folks. Mr. Brady, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board this morning?
Mr. Committee Chair, we have received no requests.
Thank you. At this point, I'd like to ask Vice President and CFO Sarah McGill to present the university recommendations.
Good morning. We'll start with agenda item 6A. Marketing and support for undergraduate recruitment. NIU's Division of Enrollment Management, Marketing, and Communications is seeking proposals for a third-party service provider who specializes in student search, fulfillment, and recruitment communication in order to expand the university's outreach efforts to prospective freshmen. Through a competitive RFP process, we are seeking a vendor partner to build better targeted recruitment efforts in established territories and develop new outreach efforts in markets open to NIU by the recent introduction of a single in-state tuition rate for all domestic undergraduate students. With the engagement of this vendor and under the direction of EMMC, we expect to realize an increase in applications and improve yield rates for admitted freshmen by developing an expanded communication plan beginning in the sophomore year of high school, as well as developing a parent communication plan with targeted messaging. Based on case studies of institutions from the Midwest with similar size undergraduate populations as NIU, one institution utilizing such a vendor increased the number of freshman applications by 33%, or 2,800 applications, and enrollment by 8%, or 200 students in the first year. Another institution increased their freshman enrollment by 9% in the first year, and by 14% after their third year. A request for proposal will be developed and advertised to determine vendor and pricing, with an award expected by late summer 2018. Once an award is made, it will be advertised in the Illinois Procurement Bulletin. We are requesting approval for a contract not to exceed $3.75 million at approximately $750,000 a year for 5 years. We have the ability to adjust the annual cost based on our utilization of and allocation of services provided by the vendor. The RFP will include potential renewal options, allowing NIU through EMMC to assess and ensure the effectiveness of the vendor. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 14, 2018.
Thank you, Sarah. Is there a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Well, this was one that got a lot of discussion during committee, I've been in favor of doing something like this for a long time, and didn't quite understand why we hadn't done this. So I'm very pleased to see us doing it. Saul, Lisa, and Sarah, thank you. You know, the one thing that I wanted to make sure and that the public knows that. There was a lot of discussion around having metrics to put in place to measure our success, because we don't just want to spend $750,000 a year and not know what our goals are and not know what our expectations are. So I myself, for one, have a lot of confidence that Saul and his team will put metrics in place to measure whatever vendor is chosen, to measure the success of that vendor, and to have the flexibility in this contract, even though it's for 5 years, that if we're not seeing the results, that my expectation is that we will take the appropriate steps to rectify that.
Thank you. Eric, please, yeah.
I'll jump in here for a second as well. From a business perspective, we've been lacking on top of the funnel, so top of the funnel numbers coming in, and this helps us with the top of the funnel. So, I mean, anybody that's ever been involved in a sales organization, you know that you work in with suspects and prospects and then work them down through. This is exactly what this is allowing us to do, and it's something that we had gotten away from in the past. Yeah. So,
well, it wasn't too long ago that we were at 20,000 applicants a year, and we've tailed off about 25%. So we need to work hard to get back to that level, because as Eric said, and I agree 100% with that, it's about the top of the funnel. If you don't have the applicants, the rest of it kind of falls apart. So this is what we're looking for that to do, is increase the top of the funnel.
I would just add, there was, as Dennis said, a lot of rigor around this topic. You know, it's easy to get excited about what could be. That's all an unknown. What we do know is we have to write a pretty big check. And we want to make sure that break-even point where we think we can get to, it seems pretty reasonable. And we absolutely have to hold each other accountable at the board and within administration, that we see the fruits of this expenditure and have benchmarks set out. So I would just assure the public that we are taking this very seriously. Revenue is critical, and enrollment numbers are absolutely the most, everything's important, right? But is a critical piece of our strategic future, surely going forward, and we need to increase the top of the funnel. So delighted we're taking action. This seems like a good, solid proposal, and we can't wait to report next year that we've seen some good results. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Sarah.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 6B, differential tuition for Master of Science and Certificate of Graduate Study in Data Analytics. You may recall in May 2018, the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee of the Board of Trustees endorsed approval of the new Master of Science in Data Analytics. This program will move forward to the Board of Trustees later today for approval. Today, NIU seeks approval to charge a differential tuition rate of $400 per credit hour for the new program, as well as for the existing Certificate of Graduate Studies in Data Analytics. Differential tuition rates are new for NIU, and we have been working to develop the appropriate sequence and timing in which to bring these items forward to the board, utilizing different approaches. Going forward, when a new program is proposed and brought forward to the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee of the Board, any corresponding differential tuition request will be brought to the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee during the same meeting cycle. The university anticipates approval of the new degree program in time for the start of January 2019 and requests that the new differential tuition rate be approved for implementation in fiscal year 19, aligned with the launch of the new degree program. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 14th, 2018.
Is there a motion to approve the recommendation? So moved. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Is there a discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Next item.
Agenda item 6C, the fiscal year 2019 internal budget. Annually, the university seeks the board's approval of the internal budget for the next fiscal year. The university will receive a state appropriation of $83.6 million in fiscal year 19 and is now bringing a balanced internal budget of approximately $425 million to the board for approval. The budget is presented on page 7 in the materials. NIU's fiscal year 19 budget development process deliberately solicited input from the university community to inform this recommendation to the board. This feedback has guided the difficult choices and critical decisions made to construct the fiscal year 19 budget in the context of declining revenue from reduced state appropriations and a declining enrollment realized in previous years. In May, I presented a preliminary budget to the board. At that time, we had a gap of approximately $5 million in which expenses exceeded revenue. Since the May meeting, we have worked to close this gap by a combination of the increased state appropriation, implementation of fundraising targets, and finalizing divisional targets and action plans to present a balanced budget today. The university continues to work to diversify revenues, reduce expenses, and align actions and future plans with NIU's mission and strategic priorities. I assure you these are real and ongoing conversations that are not solely related to the budget development process, but happen throughout the year. Included in the budget are several levers that can be enacted throughout the year as needed if revenues are not trending as anticipated. We will continue to provide quarterly financial summary information to the board in fiscal year 19. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 14th, 2018.
Is there a motion to approve the recommendation? We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Please.
The $83 million that we received from the state, is that the amount of money that we requested or was expecting?
It's a 2% increase over what we received in fiscal 18, which was about $82 million. So it was a welcome increase.
And I know we have a lot of people to thank for this additional funding. Is there anybody in particular that you'd like to call out or call attention to? Or?
You know, I think we'll have another opportunity to revisit this during the full board, but I do have to say that Matt Streb is our state relations liaison. Acting Executive Vice President and Provost McCord, Vice President McGill, the other public university presidents and chancellors, the members of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. And truthfully, this year, there was partisan interest in helping higher education recover from the insult received in fiscal 16 and 17 and during the 700 days without a budget. Chair Coleman, you asked, is this what we asked for? And no, not exactly. What we asked for was what we had gotten in fiscal 15 and 17, and this is still 8% down from it. But it's a step back in the right direction. And in all of our requests, the requests of everybody I just listed, what we told the state in very uncertain terms was, in very certain terms, is what we needed was clarity, stability. We needed to know before the beginning of the fiscal year what we were going to have during the fiscal year so that we could plan over the short and the long term. And the fact that that was achieved is greatly appreciated. I know many of the people in this room advocated with their legislators. I know the board was extremely supportive, using their voices, and I think everyone is deserving of thanks.
I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge and celebrate the efforts of Acting President Freeman and our efforts as well. She was instrumental in leading our strategy and organizing our advocacy efforts.
Please. When we were here last, we had a gap of several millions of dollars, and so it's great to see us close that gap, but I know that didn't happen without a lot of effort on a lot of folks in this room and across the campus in terms of budget tightening, and in some case cuts. So I just want all those that that were a part of putting this balanced budget together, in terms of some of the sacrifices that you've had to make from a budgetary standpoint or from a budget standpoint, thank you very much for helping us to get to this point. Because even when we had a gap, there was still a lot of cuts that had been made up to that point, and there's been tightening even since that. So thank you for your participation. You know, I kind of weave this back to the discussion we had on one of the previous points that we approved in terms of the consultant that's going to come in to help with the top of the funnel. This, you know, I've never been an advocate of cutting your way out of a problem in terms of budget. I've always been an advocate of let's increase the top line. And so, you know, I think our efforts need to continue to focus on belt tightening, but we also need to put, you know, tremendous focus on increasing the revenue of NIU, and you know, and that begins with our students. So thank you for all your work.
Yeah. I would just echo a few of Dennis's comments. There's a lot of work at all levels of the university that has gone into this, and it's still a really tough time. The top line is clearly where we'd like to see the biggest change, right, to increase the enrollment and the revenue. All boats rise in that environment. When you look at this budget, even from the 16 to the 19 proposal, the tuition and fees piece is down $20 million, which is a big chunk of money. That probably is the number that has the most uncertainty around it in my mind. If we go back to the prior budgets and look, we've missed on that number, and we'll watch it closely. But boy, if that falls under further pressure, you know, the state's going to do what they're going to do. The operating costs, to a large degree, are relatively fixed in an institution like this. It is the revenue. And just wherever I get a chance to talk about that, boy, the importance of increased enrollment, increased revenue, increased market share is what will carry the day. So good work here, both on the revenue and the expense side. And it seems like some of the fundamentals are getting tightened up on both ends of that. So this was a lot of good work. Thank you. Any further discussion? So we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
All right. We have one item included for a university report, the fiscal year 17 external audit corrective action plans update, related to the fiscal year 17 financial audit and compliance examination. The written update provided, beginning on page 8 of the materials, addressed the compliance findings from the FY 17 audit. As a reminder, NIU closed the fiscal year 17 audit cycle with 14 material findings, which is 2 above fiscal year 16. Five of these findings are repeat findings from the prior year. Total number of fiscal year 17 immaterial findings was 6, as opposed to 5 from the previous year. And then the full report can be found at the Illinois Auditor General website. While we are disappointed that the auditors identified several findings from fiscal year 17, we take these findings very seriously and are working to address all issues in a timely manner. Myself, Acting President Freeman, and Acting Provost McCord are fully committed to address these, in several cases, reoccurring issues. Later today, President Freeman will discuss the presidential goal related to increasing transparent practices and decreasing critical audit findings and our efforts in support of these goals. The written update includes a summary update on the corrective action plans, as well as the finding description, audit recommendation, associated risk as defined by the auditors, and university comments on implementation status. As noted in the chart on page 8, 10 corrective action plans have been fully implemented. This information is current as of June 2018. In support of our commitment to implement enhanced management reporting, we are also prepared to talk with you today about the financial portion of the fiscal year 17 audit and review the financial results for the year ended June 30th, 2017. We have prepared a slide deck to guide this portion of the conversation. Before we transition to the presentation, I am happy to take any questions related to the written update on the fiscal year 17 corrective action plans.
I would just add that I'm pleased to see the transparency here. I'm not sure what the protocol has been in the past for publishing the actual findings and what that action was. This is all public information. But the bottom line, I look at this, that this is how we keep score for how the institution does with respect to complying with a host of rules, regulations, and policies around primarily around the finance and compliance arena. And the bottom line is that 14 is a big number. And when you get 14, I looked and compared us to the other state institutions, and we're in not a very enviable position or rank there. And the trends have been going backwards. So you just look at it very honestly and say, boy, we're going in the wrong direction and we're not in a good position. And this is a reflection of the university. So with all the good work and all the focus and all the energy that goes into it, you post a score that's going in the wrong direction, and it's a big number. It does create a blemish. I'm delighted with your and Lisa's focus, and I'd love to see that in the presidential piece and, a real earnest commitment to making this. And again, it's a cultural thing and not a check-the-box sort of thing. I get the fact that there's been significant turnover in key positions throughout the university that touch many of these areas, and that makes the challenge really, 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 really hard. Continuity and consistency is a key. The more stress, the more turnover we have, the harder this goal is to achieve. So as much as we don't like the number and the direction, I do like the fact that it seems in my short tenure on the board, anyhow, this has risen to a much higher level of focus. So thank you.
Thank you. As we transition to the discussion on the financial results, I will draw your attention to the fact that we are talking about financial results between July 1st, 2016 and June 30th, 2017, almost a full year ago. Moving forward, we are assessing our internal calendars and processes to allow for a more timely and relevant discussion of the audit results. The FY17 audit results presented today reflect a critical moment in time just prior to the end of the 700-day state budget impasse. NIU was realizing the full impact of that event. Subsequent to the fiscal year 17 year end, we were in a better financial position due to the receipt of cash from the fiscal year 17 state appropriation, including the full year of MAP funding. We are very grateful for the consistency of the state appropriation for fiscal year 19 and the certainty the budget and associated funding provides for our campus in the upcoming year. However, we continue to work through the ongoing impact of the budget impasse, and that's true both here at NIU and higher education across the state. Cherie Sannon, Acting Associate Vice President for Finance and Treasury, will join me for the presentation and lead the discussion.
Good morning.
So today we will present to you the FY17 audited financial statements and results of the university only. It does not include the three related organizations, NIU Foundation, Alumni Association, and the Research Foundation. The university received an unqualified opinion from Clifton Larson Allen, which is the best possible outcome one can receive. An unqualified opinion means that the audited financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the university and its related organizations. The university's net position declined by $30.4 million. We will look at the balance sheet, which reports the university's assets, liabilities, and net position at a specific point in time. And we'll also look at an income statement at a high level. We'll look at the university's working capital as of June 30th, 2017. And working capital is a measure of liquidity, efficiency, and just the overall health of an organization. We'll look at a five-year trend of the university's outstanding debt obligations. So that would include performance contracts, revenue bonds, capital leases, notes, and certificates of participations. And then we'll wrap up with a discussion on the difference between generally accepted accounting principles, which is the basis of our audited financial statements, versus budget results, which are prepared on a cash basis. Next slide. 2017 change in net position at a high level presents the university's income statement. Tuition and fees net of scholarship declined by $11 million. And other net revenues declined by $6 million for a combined total of $17 million. Operating expenses increased in total by $11 million. However, this total includes a $20.7 million increase in employee benefit expenses related to uncontrollable increases in pension and health insurance costs. These costs are offset by the state on behalf appropriation reported under non-operating revenue activities. Overall, the university's controllable operating expenses actually decreased by $8.9 million due to efforts of program prioritization and other expense reduction initiatives. And then moving down under non-operating activities, we see the university's general state appropriation reported for FY17 is $48.3 million. An additional FY17 general appropriation was enacted on July 6, 2017 for $42.8 million. However, the $42.8 million must be recognized as revenue in FY18's financial statements in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. Again, we see that the state on behalf appropriation increased by $20 million for payments made by the state for university employer contributions to CSRS and CMS. So as a result, the overall impact on net position on a GAAP basis is a decrease in net position of $30.4 million. And if you see over a two-year period, total decline in net position represents $76.6 million. So it's clear here that 700 days without a budget during the budget impasse had a significant negative impact on NIU. Next slide. 2017 net position at a high level summarizes the university's assets, liabilities, and net position on June 30th for 2017 and 16 comparatively. We can see here the decrease in net position of $30.4 million reduced the overall net position of the university from $225 million in 2016 to $196.8 million in 2017. Total liabilities continue to decline as we reduce costs and continue to make timely debt payments. The biggest fluctuation, however, was in our unrestricted cash and investments, which declined by $32 million in total. to continue to fund operations during the budget impasse. Some proceeds from investments maturing during FY17 were transferred to cash rather than reinvested. Due to the timing of the state budget approval, the university did not see a new cash infusion until July of 2017. Next slide. So working capital is a measure of liquidity, efficiency, and overall fiscal health of an organization. It takes current assets and subtracts current liabilities to determine an organization's ability to pay its short-term debt. So NIU's working capital at June 30th was about $11 million. However, if you take a more conservative approach to reduce working capital by those current restricted cash and investments that are restricted for a specific purpose, and then increase that number by those long-term non-current cash and investments that could easily be liquidated or converted to cash, when adjusted for these items, the university's working capital was actually negative $722,000. According to industry standard, a good working capital would be between 1.2 and 2.2. The good news is, subsequent to year end, the university's cash position strengthened significantly as monies were received from FY17 appropriation totaling $12 million. We received the full FY17 MAP appropriation totaling $19 million. Tuition and fees related to summer and fall semesters total came in within the first 3 months totaling $50 million, plus $12 million from the FY18 state appropriation. So due to the timing of the state appropriation, the strong leadership of President Freeman, and the continued efforts of senior leadership to ensure expenses align with mission critical items, I anticipate FY18 working capital position will be positive. Next slide. So looking at the university's long-term debt obligation for the past 5 years, we see that we're heading in the right direction. We're paying down our debt. FY17 balance is projected at $352 million. We've been cautious about taking out new debt. This year in FY18, there was a new capital lease that was financed by Dell for the purchase of software and electronic cloud storage to modernize the university's old legacy storage infrastructure that was well past its useful life. Next slide. So the audited financial statements, as I mentioned before, are prepared on what we call GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, as defined by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, whereas the budget is prepared on a cash basis for projected revenue and expenses. So obviously there's disparities between the two, between GAAP and budget. For several reasons. One, the regulations and standards governing the two are different, so budgeting is dictated by IBHE and the State Office of Management and Budget, and then the financial statements are prepared on a GAAP basis. Also, the timing of when revenues and expenditures are recognized differs under GAAP versus budget. And then also certain non-cash expenses that would impact the financial statements may not impact the budget. So we can see here, we've started a process to develop a modeling to reconcile the difference between the two. So in October 2017, the reported budgetary excess revenue over expenses was $257,000. And then the audited financial statements released in March 2018 reported a net loss of $30.4 million. We know that depreciation, which is a non-cash expense, was $25 million as reported in our audited financial statements. However, this expense was not part of the budget. The difference of $5.6 million making up accounting adjustments for expense accruals and revenue deferrals report on a GAAP basis, but are not required for budgetary basis. So as noted, this is a preliminary reconciliation pending further analysis, and Sarah will talk about next steps.
Next slide, please. So our reporting process has been a work in progress, and we continue to refine our reporting methodology and basis. We have discussed the differences between generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP, and budget. The differences between budget and GAAP can be boiled down to a handful of items, and while most corporations manage their operations on a modified GAAP basis, very few higher education institutions budget on a GAAP basis. Most rely on a number of reconciling items, including those that Sheree just identified. While we presented a preliminary high-level overview, there is still much work to be done. We must now continue our reconciliation and understand the effects of the reconciling entries. The understanding will inform our budget build process in future years. In the next year and moving forward, we commit to completing this analysis of GAAP versus budget and applying our findings in FY18 and beyond. As we look towards our management reporting, we are looking at preparing our quarterly financial statements on a GAAP basis beginning in quarter one of fiscal year 2020 to help to understand and prepare for what we can expect at the end of the year. That concludes our presentation.
Thank you, Sheree and Sarah. Very, very well done. Open it up for maybe a couple of comments. I know I'm mindful of time, but this is an awfully important topic.
I just want to say
Thank
you. This has been years in coming, and I think this is a whole new road for us to have complete transparency and a really good idea in where we are and where we're going. So again, thank you for what you're doing. I know you got a lot more to do, but this. We're digging out from what's happened in the past, and glad to see we're fixing it.
Thank you. We're fortunate to have very strong leadership and a very talented team to support and prepare the materials for today's discussion.
Please. So I've been on the board for 6.5 years now, and I have to tell you, there's been a lot of push probably over the last 2 to 3 years to improve our financial reporting, our visibility, our transparency to our numbers, also to implement new discipline as it relates to our financial activities. And I have to tell you that we have made a lot of great progress. And I want to thank you, Sarah, for your leadership team, as well for this continuous improvement of our financials, in spite of tough times, tight times, making some tough financial decisions. We're moving in the right direction. I want to encourage you to continue to implement those disciplines and continue to move forward for the continuous improvement.
I would just add a few comments. It's again, healthy to just talk about the facts, right? So those losses the last 2 years are material. They're very significant. The working capital position, which is essentially zero, in context of several hundred million dollars of debt and several hundred million dollars of operating budget is a big deal. Obviously, the appropriation activities and the accounting for such in the current fiscal year will make a big difference there. And these numbers will look better, but we want to be crystal clear that this is still very, very, very thin, and we've got a lot of ground to make up for surely the last couple of years. As discussed pretty thoroughly in the budget process, we're pulling a lot of the right levers, but it's really healthy to get this out and talk about it in generally accepted accounting terms. There's only one version of the truth, right, and that's the audit. Let's focus on the audit. Ideally, we don't want to be talking about it a year after it happened. And going forward, if we're on a quarterly basis, looking at balance sheet to balance sheet, we'll have really crisp, good information to make good decisions on. Other thing that jumps off the page is the on behalf of payments is something we don't talk much about at all. They're passed through income and expenses. but I think you see the magnitude of $179 million that the state of Illinois is since taking care of our fringe benefits, primarily the pension obligations, is massive. Obviously, there's discussion going on, has been in Springfield for a long time. Boy, could those ever be passed on to the operating entities? And you see the magnitude of what that would be. It's a massive number. But you get a little perspective of what the state of Illinois is dealing with when you look at just our piece that they're paying on our behalf is significant. So again, applaud the work, look forward to more progress, and can't help but acknowledge Representative Bob Pritchard walked in. And Bob, we talked earlier in the budget about who should we thank and appreciate for the quick budget action in Springfield this year, and surely you're at the top of the list. So thank you for your years of support for this university. Thank you.
Trustee Struthers, may I just add few words of thanks? Thanks for indulging that. I want to echo what's been said about Vice President McGill and the team in finance and administration, but I also want to thank some others. I want to thank Vice Provost Minnie and Acting Executive Vice President and Provost McCord. Under our budget guiding principles that were approved by the Board of Trustees, the CFO and the EVP Provost and their staffs work hand in glove to create a budget that's academically responsive as well as fiscally responsible. And during the budget impasse of 700 days, that was an incredible challenge. I want to thank the academic leadership, the deans, and every single person in this room who's on NIU's faculty and staff. Revisiting these numbers is sobering. Thinking about that period is tough. And yet we came through it because we all adopted trustee mentality, thought about the university ahead of our own needs and wants in many cases, and budgeted with students first and at the foremost of our budgets. And we're here today, and we can hold our heads up proudly because of that.
Well said. Thank you, Lisa. Are there other matters to come before this committee? Seeing none, the next meeting of this committee will be held on August 16, 2018. And may I have a motion for adjournment? Second.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Adjourned. Thank you.